I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of St. Matthew's, the 22nd chapter. I'd like to read a little bit, beginning at the first verse. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I'd like to dwell there for just a few minutes, talking to you about those that are chosen. You know, I say this so often, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has sent a call out through the world. This call has went forth to all the people of the world, saying, Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. The call has gone out to all the world. Let whosoever will. The call says, Let whosoever will. Let those in Germany come. Let those that are in Japan come. Let those that are in Russia come. Let those that are in America come. Let whosoever will come. Let the black man come. Let the white man come. Let the yellow man come. Let the red man come. Let the old come. Let the young come. Let the men come. Let the women come. Let the children come. Let whosoever will come. Let the rich come. Let the poor come. Let all people come. Let whosoever will come. So then the call went out. Many are called, but the Bible says few are chosen. God sent Moses down into the land of Egypt. And Moses went there for one purpose. And that was to give a call to tell all that wanted to follow God to come out of the land of Egypt. Whereas there was hundreds of thousands of people that heard the call. And there was hundreds of thousands of people responded to the call. Whereas I think we're safe in saying the same thing today. I believe that there has been hundreds of thousands of people today that have responded to the call. Hundreds of thousands of people have heard the call and become religious. God said to Moses, Go down to the land of Egypt. Tell Pharaoh to set those people free. So then hundreds of thousands of people were set free to the extent that God called them. And they started out for Canaan land. Folks, there's a lot of people that started out for heaven. There's millions of people that have started out for heaven. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able to enter in. For once the Lord of the house has risen up and shut to the door, they shall stand on the outside, and they shall knock, and they shall plead, and they shall ask God to open the door. But he'll say, the door is shut, and you can't come in. So then there are hundreds of thousands of people that have become religious. There are millionaires. There are great actors, movie stars, all kind of dignitaries. There are great athletes. There are great stars in the world from all walks of life. Great men, great women, great celebrities. All of these have become religious. All of these have started for heaven. All of these are convinced that they are right and that they're going into the kingdom of God. And every day you see them on TV and you read about them in the newspapers and you read about them in the magazines and you hear about them having meetings and great religious gatherings and all of these kind of things. There's the Methodist and there's the Baptist and there's the Presbyterian. There's the Catholic. There's the Pentecostal. There's millions of denominational people gathering together in great bodies. All of these people coming together. What is it? The call has gone out. God has said, let whosoever will come. If you say anything to these people about not going to heaven, they'll tell you, they'll say, I have as much right to go as you have. God is my God just as much as he's your God. Isn't that right? If you remember, Abraham was the father of Ishmael just as much as he was Isaac. Is that right? Abraham was the father of Ishmael. Abraham was the father of Isaac. They'll say, I'll have you to know that God's my father just like God's your father. But did you know something? The Bible says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It didn't say in Ishmael. It didn't say that God would bless all nations through Ishmael. It didn't say that God would bless all the people of the world through Ishmael. It said through Isaac. Though he was the father of Ishmael, yet there is a difference. God has created all people, but yet Jesus tells us in the word, he says, that you are of your father the devil. If you do not honor God, if you do not obey God, he says that you are of your father the devil. When the Bible speaks of Cain, it says that he is of the wicked one. Though God created Cain, for God created all things. Isn't that right? God created Lucifer. Is that right? So then the call has gone out to many people. The call has gone out to people all over the world. But the Bible said there's many called, but few are chosen. When you think about those that are going to heaven, I want you to know that it isn't going to be like the call at all. It isn't going to be like the call at all. There's millions of people that have been called to salvation, but my brother and sister, God is not going to take those people that he hath called into the kingdom of God. God did not take those people that he called out of the land of Egypt into Canaan land. The Bible said that when they got out into the wilderness, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Therefore, they were overthrown in the wilderness because they mumbled and they grumbled and they found fault with the ministry and they would not honor God's ministry. They would not obey the voice of God. They would not conform to the teachings of the Lord. They did not have time to serve God. They have their own program. They have their own plans. They were doing their own things through life. And when Moses needed help and when Moses needed somebody to do something, they were too busy. They had their own plans. The Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased. Therefore the earth literally opened up and swallowed millions of people. Now then, brothers and sisters, remember this. that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, Brother Pike, that was for Moses. That was for the people back there. But the Bible says that all of those things happened to those people for an example unto us who was coming years later, that we should fear, that we should not live ungodly, that we should not mumble and grumble, that we should do all things without murmuring. The Bible said that God cut off the Jewish people, though he gave the call to the Jews, yet he cut them off. The Bible said he sent the call out. He sent out the call for the wedding supper. He said, my supper is already prepared. Everything's already, already. Go out, tell them to come to the supper. But they did not come. God sent for them, but they did not come. Therefore, God burned their cities. God sent Titus, and he plowed the city like a field. And he burned the sanctuary, and he burned the cities because God was angry because they refused to come to the supper of the Lord. When Calvary came, when Jesus died at Calvary, when Jesus gave them the invitation, when he said, come and drink of my blood, eat of my flesh, and they rejected it and laughed at him. God was wroth and God was angry, and the Bible said God sent and burned their cities. And oh, beloved friend, it says that he sent out into the highways and into the hedges and said, just let whoever will come. He brought the Gentiles in. He sent for Brother Pike, and he sent for Brother Gary, and he sent for Brother Taylor, and he sent for anybody that would come in. And he said, get the halt and get the lame and get the blind. But even then, the Bible said, when he sent for all of those people, even among those people, he still found some of them without the wedding garment. Some of them did not honor God, which means even in this latter time, there's still people that's not going to honor God. There's still people that's not going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But there's some people that's not going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, put on the Lord Jesus Christ? When you talk about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean this, that you must do what Jesus done. You must think like Jesus thought. You must talk like Jesus talked. You must do the things that Jesus done. You must have the same kind of vision that Jesus had. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You must die out to self. You must die out to your own plans, your own activities through life, and you must become the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of your life, you're supposed to be transformed the more by the renewing of your mind until you have thoroughly put on the Lord Jesus Christ, until your every thought is concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the desire of God and concerning the things of God. You're supposed to come to a place to where you walk like him. You talk like him. And the Bible said, add godliness to your experience. You're supposed to add virtue to your experience. You're supposed to add godliness to your experience. You're supposed to add wisdom to your experience. You're supposed to add virtue to your experience. All of these things, temperance to your experience, humility to your experience. You're supposed to have charity with your experience. All of these things, this is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man said, I prepared a supper. How is it, sir, that you came into my supper without the wedding garment? What is the wedding garment? I counsel of you to buy of me raiment, tried in the fire. There's only one human body that's ever been tried in the fire. That's the Lord Jesus. When he went down into the flaming pits of hell and passed through there. There has never been another that ever passed through the fire that came out of the fire. When you speak of the garment that's tried in the fire, the Bible tells us that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should act like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should think like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should act every way accordingly as his body would function in the earth, because we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, sir, how did you get into the wedding supper? How did you get into the wedding supper without the wedding garment? And I say unto you that everyone that comes to my supper that doesn't have on the righteousness of Jesus. For the Bible said we are made the righteousness of Christ Jesus, or the righteousness of God in Christ. For he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, everyone that comes in that doesn't have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible says he will be bound hand and feet, and he will be cast into the outer darkness. If you've not been born again, you need to be born again. If you've never had a born again experience and been filled with the Spirit of God, you need to be born again. It's like Brother Benton made the statement the other day. The Brother Benton that came down from the Carolinas works with the Pilgrim Tract Society. He's been a Trinitarian for many years. He's had an experience with God. He said he believed all these years. He said, but Brother Pike, my wife and I at last come to the conviction that if a person does not have the infilling or the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, they do not have a born again experience. He said it took us a long, long time to come to that conclusion. He said, but we are convinced that if a person does not have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, then they do not have a born again experience. Whereas the Bible said that if you have not his Spirit, then you're none of his. And the Bible tells us there's many operations, one Spirit. So then if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you certainly couldn't have his Spirit, because there's not more spirits than the Holy Ghost. I think the most foolish thing I ever heard in my life is people that go around teaching two or three different spirits. You can have this spirit or that spirit or another spirit. Get the Spirit and work your way up to the Spirit. You get the Father Spirit, you work your way up to the Son Spirit. Then you work your way up to the Holy Ghost Spirit. That's foolishness. There is but one Spirit. There's but one God. God is the Spirit. And that Spirit works through the name of the Son of God. And if you have not the Holy Ghost, then you don't have that Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the truth of God. And the truth of God is the Word that was in the beginning, that is called God. Therefore, if you have not the Spirit of the Word, you do not have the Spirit of God, because God is the Word. And the Spirit of the Word is truth, for Jesus said, my words are truth. And he said, when this Spirit returns, or when he, the Spirit of the Word, or he, the Spirit of truth, in that I am the Word made flesh, when he, the Spirit of truth, when my Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Christ within you, the hope of glory, when he comes back, he'll come in the name Jesus. He'll return in the name that he was in as he walked the sandy shores of Galilee. And the same name that he used as he tabernacled here in this body, that's the same name that he'll come back in. So then, if you have not the Spirit of God, beloved friend, you don't have the righteousness of God. You haven't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that we have to have on the wedding garment. If you don't have on the wedding garment, then it's going to be too late. When you go into the wedding supper, it's going to be too late. That's why that I say many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible said in that day that the trees of God shall be so few in number that even a child shall be able to number them. But they that are left in Zion shall be called holy. That means that if you're not holy, You're not going to be part of the forest of God. And the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God. And it speaks of the entrance into the kingdom of God. And it says the way is straight, narrow. The gate is straight and narrow. He said, few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. That is to say, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the gate. I'm a straight gate. I'm a narrow gate. I'm the only gate. I'm the gate to the sheepfold. Not very many are going to discover me, Jesus said. I'm the pearl of great price. Not many are going to discover me. And he said, I'm a straight gate. That is, I'm a tight fit, like a straitjacket. I'm a tight gate. You can't pass to the Father except you go by the way of the Son. And if you go by the way of the Son, it means you have to pass through the Word. And if you pass through the Word, then you're passing through me. For I am the Word made flesh. I am the gate. Therefore, it is a straight gate. I'm the only way. I'm the door that's open in heaven that John saw. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The wedding garment. Many are called, but few are chosen. All of the millions of people around the world today, they're expecting to go into the kingdom of God. They say, Brother Pike, or they'll say to you, and I've had them to say it to me many times, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. We are in great expectation. I noticed the different ministers and the different businessmen and the different denominational powers, the different evangelists. I notice the different people that come in here to communicate with me. And they have three times the enthusiasm that you have. Some of them have three times the enthusiasm that you have, and yet some of them have never been born again. They come in here and they talk about God. And they talk about the great things of God. And how that they're going to enter into the kingdom of God. How that they belong to God. How that they love the Lord and the Lord loves them. And how that they are part of the great kingdom of God. You say, Brother Pike, how can all of these things be? The Bible said, I will provoke you to jealousy with a people that is no people. Those people out there, they're beginning to see how beautiful the church is. They're beginning to see Snow White, as I said this morning. They're beginning to see the glitter. They're beginning to see that they're turning into a hag out there. That all of their enthusiasm out there amounts to nothing. That God is still leaving them. That life is still leaving them. That all of the joy and jubilance of life is being taken away from them. And they see the church and they see the religious side of life. And the very thoughts of being part of that eternal life, of that extended way of life, they get so beside themselves that they just holler and scream and shout. Even businessmen do it. Great celebrities do it. Men that wouldn't do it under any other condition, I see them do it. What is it? Professional men do it. Just the thoughts of being part of the kingdom of God. But here we are, children of God, and what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, if we're not careful, we get like the son that stayed at home. The son that stayed at home, he just sat there. Had everything that the father could offer. He had all of the opportunities through life. He could have done anything that he wanted to. Just as quick as that prodigal came in, that prodigal had such a great jubilee. That prodigal was so tore up. I can just see that prodigal as that father extended a hand to him and said, my son, I'm so glad to see you back. I'm so glad to know that you're back, and extended a hand of love to the prodigal. I can see as he extended that hand of love to the prodigal. And that prodigal, all of a sudden, realizing that that tie between him and the father wasn't severed the way that he thought it was. Realizing that he had not totally lost out with all the wealth and the power of his father's house. Oh, the joy, the jubilance. Why? Because he had been cut off from it. He had been cut off from it. He had gotten away out there. He had squandered his substance. He had suddenly come to realize how to properly evaluate he suddenly realized the need for those things of value because he didn't have them any longer. But you know, a lot of us are like the son that stayed around having everything. Therefore, we don't properly evaluate. There's evangelists that come in here. If they had one third of what we got here, they would be so tore up that they would just be trying to evangelize the entire world. As a matter of fact, Brother Mitch was telling me recently that this brother that came down said that Pilgrim Tract Society, where he's at, doesn't have near what we've got in what we're doing. Yet last year they put out 50 million tracts last year, but all they've got is some old letterpresses to do it on. But they're going forward, one of the greatest movements in the earth. And here we are, we're sitting around and we're doing nothing. You know what's wrong? We want to lay up treasures on earth. We want to eat, drink, and be merry in the sense we want to be selfish. It's like I preached today. One of the problems of the world today is they see the greed and they see the selfishness and they see the lethargy and they see the apostasy and they see the unconcern of the church people. And it's causing them to stay outside. You're standing at the door. You're standing at the door. You're standing at the door and you won't go in. And you hinder everybody else that comes along. Somebody will say, well, are you with them? Well, I'm out there. Do you belong to that church? Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. And a year later, you're still thinking about it. And 2 years later, you're still thinking about it. And you don't do nothing but just call the devil to just cause such a mess until nobody wants to get in. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You stand at the door and you won't go in. And everybody else that's coming, you hinder. My brother, my sister, you need to do something. But the prodigal came back, and that prodigal, when that father extended a hand, he got in there, he took that hand. That ring was slipped on his finger. He got in there, and he began to have a jubilee. And here come the son that was at home. Here he come a pouting and a puffing. Somebody say amen. A pouting and a puffing. What was it all about? I want to know what you're going to do about the rules. Somebody say, I love Jesus. What have you been doing about the rules? You haven't cared anything about the rules. You haven't cared anything about God's business. You haven't cared anything about your position. You haven't cared anything about anything that's been appointed to you to keep it up or do anything. But let somebody make a fuss of it, and you want to know about the rules. Somebody say amen, or oh me, or shut up, whatever you want to say. But that's the way it is. Some of you sisters are the same way. You don't want to work at your position. You don't want anybody else to have it. And that's what's caused the world today to be like it is. They're staying on the outside, and they want to be part of what we're doing. But you stand at the door, and you won't come in, you won't get in, you won't be part of it, you won't go on, you won't do what we've asked you to do, and yet you want to grumble and mumble and fuss every time we go to get somebody else or go to do something else. You know what you need to do. You say, Brother Pike, what should I do? Get born again. You need to get born again. If you had the Spirit of God in you, you wouldn't be like that son was. That son that came up there, he should have went out and grabbed that prodigal and said, my God, here's my brother. He's back. At last he's back. But no, not him. Here comes somebody I'm going to have to share with. I had it all by myself. Could do it any way I wanted to. Didn't have to do it if I didn't want to. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, well, I think you're mocking, preacher. It sure does sound like it, don't it? You must have good discernment because that's what I'm doing. But that's exactly what you are doing, mocking God. You stand at the door and you say, I'm going to get in with them folks. And somebody will say, well, are you going to join up with them? Well, I don't know. How long you been out there? Been out there about 5 years. Why, you double-minded hypocrite, you ain't never going to do nothing. Say, Brother Pike, do you mean what you said? Maybe I ought to say it again. I said, you double-minded hypocrite, you ain't never going to do nothing. You won't unite with us and you won't unite with nobody else. You're not going to unite with anything except what you want to unite with. It's like a man I told over in Mississippi one time. He came to me and he made some smart remarks to me. And I said, I'll tell you something, brother. I said, you need to line up with somebody or do something. I said, you're just everywhere doing nothing. And ain't lining up with nobody and ain't lining up with nothing. And nobody understands you. You're just one big confused mess. So he said, and he did. He lined up with himself. And you know where he's at today? Somebody say amen. He's one big confused mess today. And he's made a bigger mess than ever before. Because he tried to do it all by himself. I'm telling you something, folks. You'd better have a love for the Spirit of God and a love for the truth. And you better get in here and do something for God. And you better get that old devil spirit off of you and stop that thing every time somebody comes in here wanting to do something for God. You better stop railroading them out of here. You better stop your getting upset and pouting and pumping the way you're doing, or God's going to railroad you out of here, and you're going to find yourself without anything. And you better stop meddling in Brother Pike's business and in Brother Taylor's business and Brother somebody else's business. And you better stop your gossiping and backbiting, because God said many are called but few are chosen. God is calling, but that doesn't mean that you're one of his elect. My brother, if God don't choose you, you'll die and go to hell. He called all of them out of Egypt, but he did not choose all of them. The Bible said there are many among Israel, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. My brother, my sister, what we need to do is get out there and win the prodigal. We need to get out there and extend the hand to those people out there. And I don't mean get out there in the slop holes and in the hog pens with them either. I don't mean some of you loose leaf people that want to get out there anyway and do everything that they're doing. I don't mean for you to get out there and get in the ball games and get in the mud holes and get in the TV shows and everything else and get in their frolics. I don't mean for you to do that. I mean for you to be holy and godly and pure and stand up like a man and a woman. But get out there and win that soul to God. And get out there and let them know what you stand for. Let them know that you're holy. Let them know that you're godly. And keep your tongue off of them people. And when somebody comes in here and you see that somebody wrong, you quit going off in the corner somewhere and chopping them all to pieces. You go to them and tell them. Don't go over and get them by the hair of the head and shake them. Shake them, say, we don't want you around here. We are brotherhood and such and such and such, you hypocrite. You're the one I don't want around here. You're the one. If you'll come by, I'll let you know it personally. I want to reach every soul that I can reach. And you that pull somebody off in the corner that do those things, I don't want you here. It's like I heard, I believe it was yesterday, somebody made some remark about Rick Gonzalez. Made a statement, said, you're Mexican. What are you doing here? You hypocrite, whoever you are, what are you doing here? Rick's here because I invited him here. God sent him here. And if you'd get born again, you might be something outside of a dog and you'd be welcome. Somebody say amen. You call him a Mexican, God called you a dog. He called the Gentiles dogs. When people elevate themselves, refuses the prodigal, drives out everybody else because they're so religious, because they're so over, they feel so good about themselves that they can't allow for anybody else. They can't have anybody else. Oh, my brother, what will God do to you? You can go around crowing and singing all you want to and say, bless God, I ain't going to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Nobody's going to convince me I'm going to hell. I know that I'm going to heaven. That don't mean nothing. Brother, if you don't live a holy, godly life, you'll go to hell. I don't care how much you talk about going to heaven. Let me tell you something. I love you, children of God. I love you. But you hypocrites, I'm out to get you one way or another, and I'll get you sooner or later. I'll find you, and when I get my gun aimed on you, God will give me the power to empty both barrels at one time. As Brother Branham said one time, load the double barrel and go after the wolf. And I'll tell you something. If every woman here, every girl here, every boy here, every man here, all of you would stand together as a brotherhood and stand together as a unit. And as Brother Branham said, load your double barrels and go after the hypocrites and go after the wolves. You wouldn't have that kind of stuff around here. You wouldn't have that kind of stuff around here. Brother, we need to love God. These young people that's coming in. Now I'm strong with them. I say things to them. I go to them, but they still love me and respect me. Because if God shows me they're wrong, I tell them. But at the same time, I try to realize that they're human beings. Somebody can see a girl standing out there talking to a boy talking to a girl, and he start that long tongue whisper. Do you see that? I wonder, lady, did you ever talk to a boy before you got married? Did you? You men, did you ever talk to a girl before you ever got married? How do you expect them to come together? I don't want them to bunch up. I don't want them to get off in rooms where they don't have somebody to watch after them. I think they ought to be up and above board. But I think we need a little common sense, a little reasoning, a little bit of understanding. Some of you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You'd let your boy or your daughter, that is, go off with a burr. Turn over into his hands all day and all night. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind. All of you fall into the ditch. But brother, let me tell you something. We need to be children of God. There's many called, but few chosen. God is calling you. God is calling the world. But God is also choosing somebody tonight. God is choosing a people tonight. And brother, when the prodigals start coming in doing camp meeting, there'll be prodigals coming in. There'll be prodigals coming in. And you need to extend a helping hand. You need to do something. You need to try to help. Offer a little assistance. Try to share a little bit with them. You need to do something. You say, well, they get on my nerves. They don't get on your nerves. The devil gets on your nerves. If you get the devil off of your nerves, you could get your nerves together. Somebody's always got nerve trouble. It's because the devil's on top of them. You love the Lord? I'm talking about you healthy folks now. Always getting nervous. Anything that don't fit your fancy, it makes you nervous. If the preacher says something you don't like, you get nervous. But folks, let me tell you something. Get into Bethlehem. Get into the brotherhood. Or for Christ's sake, get away from Bethlehem. Leave it. Don't stand to reproach it and cause God to kill you. Get in and do something and stop that double-minded hypocrite way of yours. Be a real man. Be a real woman. Get in here and do something. Don't always talk about what you're going to do or what you're going to be or going to be one of the brethren. And one day you're in and one day you're out. And one day you think it's right and the next day you think it wrong. I tell you, it's a wonder if you don't drive your poor wife slap out of her mind. Or if it's your wife, it's a wonder if you don't drive your poor husband slap out of his mind. And if it's both of you, it's one if you don't drive the children slap out of their minds. You have them so mixed up they don't know what they're doing. My brother, looks to me like you'd have enough sense, enough understanding to know what you want one way or another. I might say, well, I think I'll get up and walk out. Doors on all sides. I made this building that way so nobody wouldn't feel crowded. I tell you one thing, the truth will help you. The truth will set you free. You say, but Brother Pike, I don't think you're preaching with the love of God. Well, maybe after service you can catch me and tell me what the love of God is and teach me the love of God. God's been trying to teach me for about 15 to 20 years. Maybe you can do a better job of it. I tell you what we need to do. Brother Camp Meeting is coming up. We need to get our double mind straightened out. We need to get out of this gossip and we need to get out of this backbiting. Some of you young girls, you act like a bunch of silly kids. Two or three of you will get together and you'll pout and you'll puff and you'll put one of the girls on your bad list. And as the world says, you'll badmouth them. And then the next day, you come back with your long gossiping tongue and you put the other one on the bad list. And then you confederate. All of you's a bunch of hypocrites when you do it. What you need to do is get straightened out. And mom and daddy needs to take a little switch or stick or belt and help you get straightened out. So then, brother or sister, as long as you send your boy to the ball games and sister to the proms, and mom and daddy sits around and watches TV, and all this time is spent making money and eating and drinking, you can be sure you and your family's going to die and go to hell. If all of your plans is for your flesh, to get you a home and get you an income and get you a little place paid for while everybody else carries the load, while everybody else struggles, while everybody else tries to evangelize the world, you can be sure that you're going to die and go to hell. You can say amen or oh me. That's the way it's wrote in the book. You say, but Brother Pike, don't you think we ought to get us some homes and we ought to get this and we ought to get that? I certainly do after you do everything God wants you to do. God said the first thing you do is girt yourself, let me sit down to the table and serve me until I'm filled to seek me first. And then I'll add the rest of it unto you. But my brother or sister, you seek a home, you seek fine automobiles, you seek money, you seek confidence, you seek wealth, you seek security, you seek education, you seek convenience, you seek having your way. And if you don't die and go to hell, I'm a false prophet. You'll die and go to hell. The Bible said you'll die and go to hell. There ain't but one way. How is that, Brother Pike? Sell all that you got like the early church did. And go to God. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pine. Yeah, that's what the rich young ruler said. Can't take that saying. Now, boy, I'll split 50-50 with you, but I'll tell you right now, this thing about the husband ruling over the wife, I can't get that. We'll have to draw up a new contract. But that's what the book said. And Adam, thou shalt rule over her. You love Jesus? You know what it is? When a man surrenders all that he hath, Jesus said, if he doth not give all that he hath, surrenders all that he hath, forsaketh all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He's got to forsake all of his thoughts, all of his ambitions, all of his desires, all of his ways through life, everything. He cannot be my disciple if he don't do it. You say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that I can't do nothing? You can do anything he'll let you do. What will he let you do? Anything the Bible says is right. What does the Bible say is right? Whatever God put in it for you to do. Now I'll tell you something, folks. There's many things God will let you have. Houses, lands. No man is forsaken houses, land. Whatever for my sake that won't receive manifold more in this world and in the world to come, everlasting life. You'll receive it. God will double it. God will bless you. But I'll tell you one thing, until you get rid of all of you got, all that you've got, and lay it down at his feet and let him give it back to you, or let him start you on your way, then you'll die and go to hell if you keep one splinter of it. Just one splinter of it. You'll die and go to hell. Lest a man forsakes all that he had. So then, there's only one way, that's to come to God. God wants a 100% surrender. And when you completely surrender to God, then my brother, my sister, God will show you what to do, and God will lead you, and God will bless you. And you won't be that selfish, greedy person that can't help, that's always looking for security in this life. It's always looking for advantage in this life. It's always robbing the little orphan over there, or robbing the poor, or taking away from the hungry or the widow. You won't be that kind of person. You'll be the one that wants to do something for God, and your cup will still run over. If you don't have that kind of spirit, you're not born again to begin with. You've just missed it. You say, but I fasted. That don't mean nothing. Israel fasted long fasts. But I prayed. But Israel prayed many long prayers. That don't mean nothing. But I went to church, so did Israel, sacrifice with the regularity. God said, I'm sick of it. That don't mean nothing. My brother, what he wants is obedience, your heart, your spirit, born again, surrender to his. Let's get ready for this camp meeting, folks. Let's get in here and let's get our hearts right with God. I know some of you still ain't right with God tonight with all this preaching. You ain't never going to be right with God. But there's some of you that are right with God. There's some of you that are going to surrender to the will of God and to the way of God and the things of God. And you're the people that I'm speaking to. The others, I'm speaking to them only in the sense the judgment shall meet them and they shall be turned into the lake of fire. But you that are followers of Christ, you that are listening to the ministry, you that have eternal life, you that are the elect of God, I am sent only to the chosen of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. All that are in here tonight have been called. But I dare say tonight, brother, sister, if I started looking for the chosen in here tonight, I'd have a few of them. You are the one that decides whether or not you are the chosen. It depends on your attitude. It depends on your surrender. It depends on your spirit. It depends on the way that you conform to the mind of God and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It depends on you taking off the things of the world and turning away from the love of the world and the lust of the flesh. It depends on that as to whether you are the chosen. All right, I've said what I felt to say. Some of it got a little strong, but I feel that's the way the Lord wanted it. Hallelujah. Now, we're still looking forward to doing something for Jesus. I trust that I'm one of the chosen ones. I'm trusting that I am. I believe that I am. And I'm trusting that I am. And if I am, then I'll be chasing along the way. And if you are, you'll be chasing along the way. And if we are, we'll be blessed and loved along the way. And we'll be lifted up and magnified along the way. And we'll enter in at the end of the way. But if we are without correction, without chastisement, then we are bastards. Whereof the Bible said all of the chosen are partakers. So tonight, I want you to think about that old gossiping tongue. And I want to say this tonight. The Spirit spoke this to me, and I want to say it. This fits a lot of you, a lot of your case. You know what you do? You, a human being, you're bad about getting upset with somebody, thinking things that you ought not to think. Somebody crosses you up. Somebody does something that you don't want them to do. Some reaction in some way that displeases you, something that cuts across your grain, something that wasn't like you wanted it to be, then you withdraw into your little shell and your computer starts and you begin to think that person into hell and you begin to kill that person, you begin to beat that person, you begin to stone that person and you begin to connive against that person and you begin to think and think and think and you'll get away in your room and you'll think and you'll think. So you've gone into a world He doesn't see that. She doesn't see that. They don't know that. But there you are, all by yourselves, drawn away. There you are, hacking them to pieces, or conniving, or looking for revenge, or trying to figure that thing out, or put it together, all just a going on in your mind, just a going on in your mind. But there's one thing that you overlook, my brother, sister, and that is, though no one else sees it, God is in that world. And all the time that you're doing that thinking, and all the time that you're doing that conniving, and all the time you're thinking those evil thoughts and trying to figure out those evil conniving plans of undermining someone to take their virtues from a young girl or to overthrow a young boy or to undermine the home of a mother or some husband. All the time that you're conniving as an employer to take a dollar from your men to figure out how to cut a corner to work them at a cheaper rate, or conniving against those that you're dealing with in business, or trying to figure out how to get away with taking something from somebody, not giving them the fair price. All the time that you're conniving in your mind against that person, thinking in your mind against that person, about that person, reminiscing, going through these things continually. God is in that world. He's watching. He's hearing. He's marking down every bit of it. He hears every bit of it. Though you think it's hid from him, he hears every bit of it. And this is what tears Brother Pike up a lot of times. You go off and you do these evil, wretched things, and then you come back around me. And when you come back around me, God lets me look into that world and it's filthy and dirty. And I don't want to be around you. You come around me talking sweet, acting nice, and you'll say, "Oh, Brother Pike, where is my dear Brother Taylor?" And I think, you hypocrite, it's been 2 hours ago that you chopped him all to pieces with your little hatchet. And you come over here talking like that. That's why Jesus, when they walked into his presence, and they said, "Oh, good master," he said, "You hypocrite." Said he perceived their thoughts in his spirit. My brother, sister, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be the kind of wife that your mind is on another man and on the other woman's husband. Don't be filthy and low down. Don't be the kind of a man that your mind is on another man's wife. Don't be that way. Keep your mind clean and godly and pure. God purifies the heart by faith. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, I can't get no revelation." You won't never have the spirit of revelation. You won't never get no revelation until you get that dirty heart cleaned up and you get that double-minded thing out of your heart. When you get your heart pure and you think clean, holy thoughts regardless to where anybody knows about it or not, then when you're sitting off in your room and you're doing all of that thinking, when you're by yourself, God will look down and smile on you, and he'll look down like this and he'll say, "That's my son. That's my daughter. Nobody don't know what they're thinking, but I know what they're thinking, and they wouldn't think wrong about nobody. They wouldn't think evil about nobody, because charity thinketh no evil. And without charity, you're sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. That's my son and daughter. I'm watching them. Nobody's around, but they're thinking so sweet and holy and pure. And even though they've been hurt and cut to their heart, they're not going to think mean and contrary and evil. They're not going to connive against anybody. And they're not going to lust." Somebody say, "I love Jesus." I'm talking about going to heaven, folks. I'm talking about being translated. I'm talking about being the chosen of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. This thing is a translation of the inner man into the kingdom of God. And if you don't get that, you can be all the church member you want to, but you're going to be lost. How do you understand what I'm saying? You can be as church as you want to, but you're going to be lost if that heart ain't right. That's where it's all at down there. The old body, it'll change after a while. But you got to get that spirit into the kingdom of God. Going to church ain't going to do it. Millions will be going to church, and they're going to miss the rapture. I want you to stand with me. Now that I scolded you a little bit today, first time I've done that in a good bit. But I tell you what, it really upset me when they come and told me what they did about Rick. Talking about, what is he doing here? He's a Mexican. That had to be some old devil. There ain't but one way that couldn't have been a devil, and that would be some boy or somebody just kind of guying at Rick because they love him or think a lot of him. And sometimes they'll do an exchange in conversation. And then we need to be careful about that, because sometimes people get hurt and don't understand. But I tell you something, folks. I dare say there's nobody here but what they hadn't got some everything from Indian to Japanese in them. The entire world. You got Dutch and German and Japanese and everything else. And tell me, what's the difference anyway? What is the difference? Can't you just see a white bird sitting on a limb saying to a black bird, I'm a white bird. I'm a white bird, you old black bird. Now what makes him any better? He's a bird. And here comes the red bird saying, both of you, you old black and white bird, I'm a red bird. Now, isn't that a bunch of foolishness? See, didn't God make all three birds? He made them like he wanted them. What makes you feel that because you are an Englishman, that you're better than a Frenchman? Or because you're a Frenchman, you're better than a German? Or because you're a German, you're better than a Spanish person? Or because you're Spanish, you're better than a Mexican? Or because you're a Mexican, you're better than a Negro? Or because you are a Negro, you're better than a Caucasian? What makes you feel that way? What gives you that kind of feeling? To feel because that you are a Russian, you're better than a Japanese. And because you're a Japanese, you're better than a Chinese. And because you're a Chinese, you're better than an American. And because you're an American, you're better than everybody. Don't you know God frowns on such a foolish, evil, conniving thing? You know what we need to do? Is to realize that we're all just a bunch of specks in the universe. And that God has made us all, and with one, just one little puff, he could blow us into eternity and start all over, and there wouldn't be nothing left. My brother, let's don't be a bunch of fools. That's what's wrong today. Hitler thought he was some kind of Superman and he had some kind of super race. So he wound up in hell. So did Mussolini. So did many hundreds and thousands of others. Napoleon and all the others that ever took that outlook. What you need to do is to realize there's only one super race. That's God's race, the sons of God. And my brother, they're not going to wind up in hell. They're going to rule throughout eternity. And you're not going to overthrow their captain of hosts. He's going to sit on the throne. Nobody's going to win out over him. He's the chief. He's going to be here from now on. And the Bible said, and I say unto thee, O God, speaking of Jesus Christ, the others shall wax old, and you, son, shall fold them up like a garment and lay them away. But I say unto you that thy kingdom and thy throne is established forever and ever. Let's get on the winning side. God's the only winning side. I believe you'll agree to that. So then, we're brothers and sisters. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. I love you. I hope you love me. I don't see how you could love me. But then when I think about it, I don't see how I could love you either. So then I put it all together. I said, well, Lord, they can't love me except through you. And I can't love them except through you. But through Jesus Christ that strengthens me, we can do all things. So then when we look at this old beast part, I look at your old beast part, you look at my old beast part, and we can't put up with that. You're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and you're precious and elect for God. Then, brother, it's no trouble to love one another. It's no trouble to love one another. You're very precious to me. You're my brother, my sister. All right, let's sing this little chorus. And I don't want to hurt you, and I don't want to scold you, But I want to get the wolves out from among you and the hypocrites out from among you, because God's fixing to do something. And I want you to be fully partakers of it. Your children need a helping hand. Some of these young folks are trying to come in. I heard that Junior Padilla made a statement the other night. He wanted to get straightened out. He felt like he needed to get straightened out. He just gone and gone and gone. He had to do something. Some of the other younger fellas are wanting to get straightened out. And they need a little strength, and they need a helping hand. Your children, and my children especially, I've got children that need a helping hand. Some of you could have given a better helping hand if you would have, but you wouldn't do it. These younger hearts have visions. They want to do something. Don't be an old ugly grump that'll get an office and sit down and won't do nothing and won't let nobody else help. How ugly that is. Even my little Danny come to me today. I don't know whether he's approached Brother Cartridge about this yet or not, but he come to me today. He said, "Daddy," he was all excited. I said, "What is it, Danny?" "I have found a job that I want to do." I said, "Have you?" "Oh, yes." And he said, "Daddy, and I won't charge you nothing for it." Said, "It's up at the church." I thought, well, now what kind of job can this be that Danny won't charge me for? Because Danny, he's a good businessman. I said, "Well, what is it, Danny?" He said, "Daddy, I want to help Brother Bill." I said, "Well, have you asked Brother Bill?" "Oh, no." He said, "Daddy," he said, you'll have to ask him." I said, "Well, maybe you better go talk to Brother Bill about it." So I don't know whether he's talked to Bill about it or not. But see, folks, that proves they've got a vision. In their hearts, they want to do something. Why is it that we boot them out, kick them out, don't have time for them? Why is that? Why do we bother to send them to school and want somebody to spend their time with them all day long when we don't want to spend 15 minutes of our time with them? When the Bible said, train up the child in the way that it ought to go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. What's happened? You've driven them away. You know you've driven them away. You shouldn't compromise with your children, or you'll never win them. But you should at least try to work with them when they try to work with you. That's the way I feel, folks. But I tell you, if people make an effort, we need to make an effort. We need to make an effort. You cannot take a person that's been out yonder in the world and make them to be a perfect man or woman when you've took 20 years in doing it. You can have rules and regulations, but you have to start people in kindergarten to ever get them through high school. And you know, it's like I said about Brother Lonnie Beachy the other day. Lonnie was tore up. Lonnie came out here and I talked to him quite a bit. I could tell that Lonnie's wanting to make a change. But I told him, I said, "Lonnie, I know what's wrong." I said, "You done been out there so long that's become a way of life to you." I said, "And you can't just switch over. That's what it is. You can't just switch over. You go back into your life when you was what you was, and even at the time of your conversion, and see if you just switched over. To say the least, some of you's hypocrites now. Sad to say. But let me tell you, I said, Lonnie, I understand. But the Lord would work with you. He'd help you if you'd make an effort. I said, what you need to do is make an effort. Get away from that out there and make an effort. And God will help you. God will give you a break. And I say that to the other young boys and girls. Give God a chance. Give God a break in your life and God will help you. God will extend a hand out there to you and help you. And he'll bring you on over. But don't think you can just do any old way and play around and make believe and slip in here like a ravening wolf and get in here and kill and destroy. God will get your head for that. And some of these fellas that seem to be so religious, that seem to be the big bosses around here, that keep slapping you on the head, you don't pay no attention to them. They ain't nothing no way. If there was anything, they'd take your hand and pick you up. The fact that they're always slapping you on the head proves they ain't got nothing. Don't pay no attention to them. You go on with God. You get some of these people that love you, that's trying to lead you and trying to help you. If somebody comes to you and they talk to you out of the love of God and out of the sweetness of their heart, and they come to you about your wrong and say, see here, young fella, you know that's wrong. You ain't supposed to do that. Then you listen at them, because you buck up against them. And you, young lady, you buck up against some of these mothers in Israel and some of these ladies that say, young lady, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. And God will get your head for it. You say, I don't believe he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. There was a person down here the other day. It ain't been but just a few days ago. I've talked to him numbers of times. My wife asked me today, she said, what was it you said about that man? Some of you remember what I said about him sitting down yonder. I said, that man standing outside, I've talked to him this time. I said, the Lord has let me know he's just about ready to quit dealing with that man. That man went back and had a bad wreck. He just got out of intensive care. He's in the hospital right now. I understand he's in bad shape. I'm praying for him. I'm reaching for him. I tried to help him. But the last trip he was here, I told some of them, I said, the Lord let me know he's about ready to quit dealing with him. Folks, there comes a time in your life, my life, our children's life, and the Lord will leave off with us. I got some of you standing right here. You're too overconfident. You're so sure you got it. But I know you haven't got it. And the Lord's about ready to leave off with you. You better get down off of that high horse and you better realize that you haven't got it. You say, but I'm a preacher. I can't help what you call yourself. You can call yourself a deacon. You can call yourself a preacher. You can call yourself whatever you want to. But you better get right with God. This is the testing time. All right, I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to forgive me tonight. If I have in any way kept you too long here, I don't feel I have. I feel like the Lord would have me to do it. But I want you to lift your hands up. Now I want you to meditate for just a few minutes. And I'm going to pray a prayer just before our brother Taylor comes to dismiss us. Brother Taylor will have something to say to you in a few minutes. But I want to pray for you first. Father of heaven, I ask first of all for the forgiveness of my sins and my shortcomings, Heavenly Father, for I am the most needy of all. But dear God, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God of heaven, that you bless my brothers and sisters. Forgive them their sins, Heavenly Father. Help them and lead them and guide them, beloved Father. And Lord, when our little ones stumble, Father, Lord, when the little lambs stumble and our little ones fall by the way, help our leaders not to overdrive them. Lord, as it was said of Jacob when he was coming back, Lord, there at Paddan Aram, God, that he couldn't overdrive the little ones. Father, lest he kill them in the way. Let him be tender and merciful, Heavenly Father, not to kill them by the way, but to help them. To strengthen them, O God, to reach out in a great and in a mighty way. My beloved Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you keep us holy and clean. Bless these darling, wonderful people that have tried to hold up the blood-stained banner of Jesus. These, Father, that have tried so hard to keep a clean heart, to keep a clean house, and keep a clean mind. These that have tried so hard to surrender their spirits, to honor, to obey the ministry and leadership and rules and regulations of thy word. Dear God, do something special for them in their health, in their life, in their finance, and their families. And dear God, where they've stumbled, where they've failed, Lord God, where they've got hurt, I pray that you'd forgive them and give them a special strength, because they're trying, Father. They're doing all that they know to do. And I know that you'll stand with them and help them, Heavenly Father. So I ask you tonight, and those that are careless, Jesus, be merciful. Bear with them, dung around them a little longer, dig around them a little longer, Jesus. Let me work with them a little longer. Oh God, before you cut them down, I ask you to be merciful. Be merciful throughout the world today. In Jesus' wonderful name, I ask it, Heavenly Father, for your love and for your wonderful grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Brother Taylor comes.